Will you bow with me in a word of prayer, please? Our Father, we are grateful to you today, thankful to be in your house, filled with joy that the sun is shining, happy because we are blessed. Oh, Father, some of us aren't any of those things. We're all sad, down in the dumps, and don't feel good. But nonetheless, we have come into your house to praise you and to worship you and to ask you to speak to us from your word that we may live and not die. So touch us, Lord, and give us that gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, some of you will be happy to know that we are madly rushing to the conclusion of the book of Leviticus. This week, next week, the week after that, and it is done. You didn't think we'd ever get there, did you? Okay. I actually think it's been a good study. I don't know what you all think, but I think it's been wonderful to watch the way the Lord works. And today, the text from the book of Leviticus that we are to deal with deals with the Sabbath rules, which are, in fact, quite simple. There were to be three Sabbaths. The first of these was the seven-day Sabbath. For 6 days, Yahweh gave Israel permission to work and to pursue honest gain. But on the seventh day of each week, Israel was to do no work. Now, I just got to ask you a question. What don't you get? You get 6 days to work. The seventh one, you just don't work. There were three reasons for the seventh day Sabbath. Reason number one, people need to rest. Not all the time. A constant nap is not good, guys. But one day out of seven, God said, give your body the opportunity to rest and recruit. Take it off. Do not work. You need to rest. And I tell you, if you keep driving, you're going to rest. Okay? So do it God's way. Take one day off. He said to. Number two, second reason for the Sabbath, is that keeping the seventh-day Sabbath was a witness to Israel's neighbors that she was different because she belonged to Yahweh. See, they didn't do the seven-day thing. Those other crazy suckers were working 7 days a week, driving themselves crazy, trying to get as much as they could get, gathering all together so they would have plenty. They didn't have God to depend upon. But Israel said, hey, it's cool. God's going to watch over me. I can afford to take a day to rest. Look at me, neighbors. Aren't you jealous? See, it was supposed to make their neighbors want God. And then the third reason for the seventh-day Sabbath is it gave Israel a day to worship God. You know what happens when we are driven by stuff? We forget to take time out to think about God. We can even be driven by the problems and circumstances of life. They can all fall in on us, and they get the best of us. And you know what we forget to do in such moments? Think about God. What God tells us is we need to have a regular time, a time every week, when we do nothing more than think about Him, because it prepares us to think about Him all the rest of the days. Now, it was real simple. The rule's not hard. Every 7 days, take a day for rest, witness, and worship. Now, I wanted to do a little alliteration here. And I just want you to understand that to get the alliteration to talk, I have to get a lisp. So instead of rest, it has to become west. And then it can be west, witness, and worship. See, it works. Okay, it'll get stuck in your mind, that little slogan, West, Witness, Worship. You're not laughing. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, at last. Okay. All right. Now, look, it's a real simple thing. And it has such potential for real enjoyment and personal good. But from the very beginning, God's people messed it up. The religious people said, yes, we must create rules to protect the Sabbath. If we don't have rules to protect the Sabbath, those people are just going to ruin it. So we better make some rules, some really heavy rules. So on the Sabbath day, you can't even take a walk that's more than 28 steps. Because if you go more than 28 steps, you have broken the Sabbath rule by working. Okay. What they did was create around it. The religious people put all around the Sabbath rule these horrible rules that made it a heavy burden for the people. And you know what the people did then when they got the heavy burden? They said, oh, fun game. Let's figure out how we can get around the rules. So the Jews in Isaiah's time were hiring people who were not Jews to keep their businesses open on the Sabbath day so they wouldn't break the Sabbath rules. And the prophet got a little upset. Because what he said is, you're keeping it, in fact, but you're not keeping it in spirit. And you know what? If you don't keep it in spirit, it's not going to do you any good. But the text from which Paul read to you just a few moments ago deals specifically with the two other Sabbaths. They're a whole lot more fun than the seventh day one. Anyway, the second Sabbath was the seven-year Sabbath. Every 7 years, catch this one now, you'll like it, Israel was to take a whole year off. Anybody here use a year's vacation? Consecutive years vacation? Okay, they were to take a whole year off and let the earth lay dormant, let it sleep for a whole year. The rules say they were not to till the ground or plant the seed or harvest grain. They were not to tend their vines or do any work at all. During that year, they could eat and drink what grew of its own in the fields and from the vines, but they were not to market it or store it up or preserve it for future use. Now, believe it or not, there are three reasons for keeping the, you getting this? There's three reasons for everything. There are three reasons for keeping the seventh year Sabbath. Number one, the land needed a year of rest. Scientists know this. They tell us the truth of this, that every 7 years it's best to let the field lay fallow because the soil needs to be nourished and it takes from its what grows in it naturally nourishment if you'll just let it rest and leave it alone. You keep working it year after year after year, you'll wear it out. Just like your body, just like your mind. So it is with all things in creation. Give it a rest. And then secondly, it set Israel off as different from her neighbors. And as such was a witness to them. See, those suckers are out there working the fields, planting the same crops every year, right in the same place, wondering why they're getting less and less and less. And Israel's saying over there, hey, look at us, cool, your vacation. Isn't our God great? You ought to serve him. You'd have your vacation too. Okay, you get it? Rest and witness. And then it taught the people of God to depend upon God. See, for a whole year, they were going to have no income because it wasn't a paid vacation. They got to eat what God provided, and they had to trust God to provide it. It had to grow of its own. They couldn't plant it. They couldn't harvest it. They couldn't make money from it. They had to depend upon God for a whole year. Now, in the case of the seven-year Sabbath, the rule is again quite simple. However, the practice requires a really big step of faith. To do the 7-year Sabbath, you have to trust God to provide for the whole 7th year every 7 years. In this case, individuals may have kept the 7-day Sabbath, and they may even have benefited from it. A whole year? Can you really trust God to provide what you need for a whole year? Is God faithful? You remember that song you like to sing? Jehovah Jireh. Remember it? You know what it means? It means Yahweh, my provider. The God who provides. And you know what? There is no record in the history of Israel that the nation ever kept the 7-year Sabbath. Fact is that individual people may have tried it. We don't have a record of that. But it seems that it required too much faith for the people of God. And the third Sabbath is called the Year of Jubilee. Every 50 years, on the 10th day of the 7th month, the Day of Atonement, Israel's priests were to sound the great trumpet of the Lord throughout the land of Israel. And the 50th year was to be a year of rest and a year of sweeping change. Now, to appreciate this, you have to remember that the 50th year always follows the 49th year. And if you know anything all about math, you know that the 49th year is the 7th year in a 7-year cycle. So the year of Jubilee always follows on the heel of the 7th year Sabbath year, the year when the land laid fallow. To celebrate the year of Jubilee, Israel was told to take a year off. Now, you thought 1 year was good. What about 2 in a row? To celebrate the year of Jubilee would require Israel to take 2 full years off in a row. And during this 50th year, there were to be great economic changes throughout the land. The Bible says the people were to go home. Now, it sounds like, tell them to take a visit. Go visit mom and dad. Go home. But that's not what it means in Hebrew. It means that they are to return to their original land grants. The land grants that were given to them by God at the time Israel entered the promised land. All of the tribes are to go back to their original land. In the year of Jubilee, all land purchased in the previous 50 years returns to its original owner. If you just let me, the way it works is you didn't really buy land in Israel, you rented it. The longest you could rent it for was 50 years if you bought it the year right after the Jubilee. At every Jubilee, the land returned to its original owners. The purpose behind it was to eliminate poverty in Israel. Because every 50 years, it came back to you. It reverted to its owners. Everybody was restored. Every clan was made as wealthy as God intended for it. Nobody could prosper beyond where God wanted them to be. Everything went back to the way God established it. And the second thing that was to happen during the land of liberty, or year of Jubilee, was that liberty was to be proclaimed throughout the land. See, back in those days, people sold themselves to other people when they got into economic distress so that they could make ends meet and get through time. Okay, today we call it getting a job. Okay? But the point of the year of Jubilee was that at the 50th year, every Hebrew slave, everybody who had sold himself to another Hebrew and was a Hebrew in Israel, every Hebrew slave was set free. He was given his freedom and his land, and in God, by God's decree, he was restored. See, the purpose of the year of Jubilee was to set things right and to protect the people from social inequity. And the rule was simple. Are you ready for this? In her entire history, Israel never kept the year of Jubilee. You know why? It required too much faith for God's people to give up what they had worked so hard to get for themselves. It was too much to expect God to provide everything you needed for 2 years in a row. And though the rule was simple and the concept good, Israel ignored it because it took too much faith. Now, there are some lessons, some really obvious lessons in this for us. Number one, just take a moment and look at what our culture has done with the concept of Sabbath. Seriously, is there a moment in time when this nation stops as a whole? For any purpose whatsoever, let alone to worship God. We have become a driven people who never take a day off, who think that somehow we have to spend all of our time chasing the elusive goals of our culture and our time, because somehow we think that all that junk is going to bring us satisfaction. And when we get it, you know what we learn? That what we've got didn't help and we need more because we ain't yet satisfied. We have become sick with diseases. And we are driven to pursue without ever saying we need to stop and rest. It used to be that the world was like that and the church was somewhat different. But the fact of the matter is that right now in time, the church is caught up in it just like all the rest of the world. So though we should be different, the second lesson, we're not. For our own good, we know what God's word says. It sounds like a really great idea. A day off each week, a year every seven, and 2 years every 50. Sounds really hot, right? Like a really nice idea. Could do us some good maybe to take some time to rest. And when you think about it, that West witness worship thing really has some merit to it, doesn't it? And yet, it's really hard to bring ourselves to the place where we are devoted to keeping the simple rule. Take one day off each week. I'm not preaching to the choir. I want you to know that. I'm preaching to myself, too. Ask Lois. How many nights were we here this week? Every night. See? Jesus said, lesson number 3, if you are faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in great ones. And if you turn it around, if you ain't faithful in those little things, you'll never make it when it comes to big stuff. You know, when I was in seminary, my professor, Dr. Bender, the professor taught me practical theology, how the church runs. He used to say, when you go out to interview a church to see whether or not you want to be their pastor, just after the meeting starts, excuse yourself and go to the men's room. Check it out. Okay? If it's in good repair, continue the interview. If it's not, say goodbye. And then he would say, you know why? And of course everybody would say, why? And wise Dr. Bender would say, well, if they're faithful in little things, they'll be faithful in great ones. And if they don't keep the men's room, they won't pay you either. Mm-hmm. The Sabbath shows. It's so simple. It's so attractive, isn't it? I mean, don't you want to take a day off every week? God's telling you you can. Isn't it wonderful? It's such a simple thing to do. It's a tiny little thing. And folks, listen to me now. If you won't do the easy thing, when it comes to something hard, guess what's going to happen? You're going to bail. And even though Israel never kept the year of Jubilee, and was, by the way, punished by God for it, the scripture says that for every Jubilee Israel missed, she spent 1 year in exile. 70 years in exile because she missed 70 Jubilees. And if you count back, you will discover it's accurate. Even though she never kept the Israel or the Jubilee and was punished by it, hear me now. God's great Jubilee is coming. For in the book of Revelation, it says that the day is just around the corner when the trumpet will sound and the sky will roll back as a scroll and Jesus himself will come and we will all see it together. And the great year of Jubilee will be upon us.